Afternoon Theater.
We present Coral Brown and Virginia Maskell in Waters of the Moon by N.C. Hunter. Waters of the Moon.
I say, Evelyn, look at this magazine. Pictures of the Grahamsland expedition I was talking about. S.S. Curlew.
How can you go on an expedition like that, John? It's really so silly to think of things that are absolutely out of the question.
Everything I suggest seems to be out of the question.
Well, in a year or two...
Oh, a year and another year and another year. Dr. Cresford says I'm decidedly better, and I feel better. Have you once heard me cough this last week? Have you? I challenge you. Besides, I put on weight. That's a fact.
All the better.
Aha, excellent. Still snowing.
What's excellent about it?
Oh, glorious snow from heaven. Bury us all in your whiteness. One gets so tired of this Devonshire lushness. It's enervating. I've often thought I should be a damn sight better if we lived in some sort of bitter, bracing place like Aberdeen. Doesn't anyone want a historic Georgian gem on the edge of delightful Dartmoor, skillfully converted into a private hotel?
It gives us a living, remember? There's that to be thankful for.
Living? It's more like being buried alive.
Yes. Go and get a couple of logs, will you?
All right. I say, are you by any chance losing your heart to Herr Julius Winterhalter?
Oh, don't be absurd.
But why not? He has considerable charm, those soft brown eyes. I like him.
Don't laugh at me.
I'm not laughing. On the contrary, I'm delighted. Oh, good evening, Mrs. White. It's still snowing.
Dreadful. I wonder if I might have a glass of hot water.
Certainly.
Oh, and Evelyn.
Yes?
You will see my hot water bottle is really hot tonight, won't you?
Wasn't it hot last night?
Not really hot, no.
I'm so sorry.
I'm not complaining. I just mentioned it.
I'll see to it myself.
Thank you.
Good evening, Colonel Selby.
Oh, good evening. Snowy. Yeah, we might have quite a fall.
Oh, dear.
Yes. After tea, I put some crumbs out for the birds. Oh, listen. Do you hear that?
What is it?
I thought I heard wild geese passing over. That's usually a sign of hard weather.
Oh, is it?
This morning, I shot a duck.
Oh? Why?
Well, I thought it might make a welcome addition to our diet.
In a way, it seems curious to feed some birds and shoot others.
Hmm. Yes, yes. If one thinks of it logically, that is so. But there it is. I was brought up to use a gun. I shot my first grouse in Dumfriesshire when I was 12 years old. That was in 1889. Now, let's see, it's 1950 now. But that's 61 years ago.
The Italians have a saying that every bird thinks its own nest beautiful.
Extraordinary race, the Italians.
Almost anything, in fact, is preferable to a communal nest. Especially one where people smoke in the bathroom.
Oh, I do assure you, Mrs. White, I
wasn't
never...
accusing you, Colonel Selby. I know exactly who it was. It wasn't a man at all. Why she stays here, why she doesn't go back to London where she belongs... No doubt I should be told that that's a very snobbish way to talk. But the longer I live, the more I dislike modern bad manners and inconsiderate behaviour. It's one thing to face old age and poverty and ill health... But it's a little hard to be condemned to lead a communal life with people whose education and upbringing have been so entirely different. Here one has simply the privacy of an animal at the zoo.
Oh, come now, Mrs. White, come now.
Oh, please forgive me. I'm really ashamed of myself. In summer, one can spend a good deal of time out of doors or sitting in one's bedroom. Now the snow has come, we shall be cooped up together in this room like dogs in a kennel. And it's still December. December! The winters here seem interminable.
It's coming down as thick as anything. You'd be lost on the moor in no time. And I wouldn't care to be in a car either. While I was getting these logs, I heard a tree fall on the drive.
You talk as if you liked the snow, John.
Liked it? Yes, yes, I do like it. I don't quite know why, but I've always enjoyed stories of Arctic travels and exploration. Although polar expeditions don't benefit anyone much. There's something rather heroic, don't you think, in this struggling against cold and pain, just for the sake of struggling?
Johnny! Johnny!
Oh, that's Mother. The latest theory is that I talk too much. The sooner I expect to be rationed to monosyllables. Excuse me.
Oh, poor boy. He talks of polar expeditions, and he's not fit to do an ordinary day's work.
Well, what do you think of the weather? Quite a change, isn't it?
Oh, do sit here, Mrs. Ashworth.
Anyway, it's snug in here, that's one thing. No, don't move, please, Colonel. Now come and sit by me, Mr. Winterhalter, and then the magic circle will be complete.
No, thank you. I have a letter to write.
He says the snow reminds him of Vienna.
When I was a child, I was excited each year by the first snows of winter. I'd work in the morning, and there was in the room, I remember, a particular sort of light, quite different from the usual grayness of winter. And when one looked out, there it was, the snow, whiteness everywhere. But that was in the old days, of course. The bad old days.
Yes, Vienna has seen some misfortune since the end of the Habsburgs.
Yes, yes. The storms of history have swept over it, you might say. Now it's like a beautiful woman who has grown old and tired and wrinkled and fallen on hard times.
How sad.
Your hot water bottle, Mrs. White.
Oh, thank you, Evelyn.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Now for a game of patience. One can't knit all the time. It looks as if we're going to have to stay indoors quite a lot now.
Now, where did I put the cards?
Ah, yes. Here we are. The Colonel's gone to sleep again. He's always going to sleep nowadays. Oh, I suppose when one's 73, there's not very much else one can do. Since his brother died 2 years ago, I don't believe he's had more than half a dozen letters. Ah, two red kings. Well, two red queens. Isn't that a nuisance? Funny to think how a life changes. There he is. DSO, MC, all the rest of it. And all he can do is to potter about by himself and feed crumbs to the birds. Oh, good gracious.
What is it?
It's all right, Colonel. Don't be alarmed. It's only the bell. But who could be ringing at this time of night? I'll have a look.
I do hope we're not...
Yes, motorists. I expect they'll want to stay the night.
What sort of people?
Well, I only got a glimpse, but they look rather smart. Fur coats and all the rest of it. Two women and a man.
Smart? Oh, how tiresome.
This is the lounge, Mrs. Lancaster. Of course, we don't cater for many guests, especially in the winter.
Lounge? But it's a most handsome room. And it's got a fire. Well, that's everything. Everything. Oh, please, don't anybody move on any account. Come along, Robert.
Do sit here.
How kind. How very kind. Tony, darling, come and thaw. This is my daughter, Tanetta, everybody. Oh, and my husband.
Hello. How do you do?
I'd really resigned myself to freezing to death in the ditch. Oh, we were absolutely in the ditch. You know, we skidded into the side of that nasty little bridge down the road, and there we were, benighted in the snow.
Oh, well, what an experience.
Oh, how far we've had to walk, I couldn't say, and through an absolute blizzard, you couldn't see a yard in front of your face.
About half a mile.
Oh, now, don't keep saying that, Robert, dear. It must be much nearer three. Well, it felt like 10. Oh, look at my legs. Absolutely soaked. Drenched.
As for accommodation, Mrs. Lancaster...
You know, I knew it would snow. I said so at breakfast. But, of course, my husband had listened to the wireless.
Cold winds with a chance of showers in the west.
Showers, I ask you. A blinding blizzard. Oh, now, look at us simply monopolizing the fire. It really is too bad.
No,
we do apologize. We really do. It's a dreadful intrusion.
As to accommodation...
Now, please, sit down, everybody. Please, please.
Darling, you're interrupting all the time.
No, I'm not, dear. What do you mean?
I was just going to say, we have one double room ready, though it's not a front room, I'm afraid.
Four walls and a bed would be the very height of luxury for us, Mrs...
Daly.
Mrs. Daly. Wouldn't it, Robert? And if we might possibly have a fire, well, even an electric thing or an oil stove would do. I shall never get warm again.
Well, now, the question of the other room...
Oh, Tony will be happy in any little room, won't you, darling?
Of course, of course.
Now, don't worry at all about that.
Well, the trouble is, the other rooms are in the part of the house we close for the winter. I wouldn't care to put anyone there tonight. I was going to suggest, just for one night, if she could manage on the sofa...
Oh, but of course, it's perfect.
Well, tomorrow night, of course.
Oh, I hope we shan't have to trouble you tomorrow night, Mrs. Daly.
Well, I'll sleep on the sofa. The young lady can have my room.
Oh, but how very, very kind and chivalrous.
Helen, I really don't think...
Oh, but I couldn't, really.
Well, I accept this gentleman's extremely kind offer on behalf of my daughter, and I do it on principle. Goodness knows there's a little enough courtesy and chivalry in the world today, and it's entirely the fault of the stupid women who insist on discouraging it. Let me say how extremely obliged I am to you, Mr...
Winterhalter.
Winterhalter, but like the painter.
Precisely. Yes, like the painter.
Tonetta, thank Mr. Winterhalter properly for his great kindness. This is my daughter, Mr. Winterhalter, Tonetta Landy.
Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Winterhalter.
Oh, and I've always pronounced it Winterhalter.
Her father was an Italian. Soup. Hot soup would be really delicious if such a thing were wildly possible.
Well, cocoa or tea?
Cocoa or tea? Tony?
Tea, please.
And I'll have tea. Oh, and some toast, I think. Oh, no, a few biscuits. A sandwich. Oh, thank you so much. We are upsetting you, aren't we?
My daughter will get the rooms ready.
Then everything's arranged. Oh, Robert, dear, you must phone the Maitlands. They'll be dreadfully anxious. Tell them we'll come along tomorrow for lunch. Oh, no, tea would be safer, perhaps.
Well, that'll depend on the weather, dear, and how much the car's damaged.
But we can't stay here, dear. You can see it's quite impossible.
Well, it may be a question of force majeure.
The roads may be blocked for weeks.
Oh, don't be silly, dear.
We were supposed to be going over for the New Year to some friends near Yelverton. Oh, the fact is, of course, one ought to stay in one's own house over Christmas. It's madness to move. Madness.
Would you care to see your rooms, and what about the luggage?
Oh, I'll take the suitcases.
Help him, Tony. I'm not going up now. I must get warm.
I'll just go and tidy up my room.
Warmth. What an adventure. Do tell me, are you all staying here for Christmas?
We live here.
What? Live here permanently?
Yes.
Oh, really? How amusing. Oh, but it does solve the servant problem, doesn't it?
It solves quite a number of problems, more or less.
It's very nice. It's very comfortable. Oh, and it's a beautiful room, even if the furniture isn't
did
exactly...
Did you manage to carry some of your luggage?
No, my husband did. Oh, thank goodness, he's immensely strong. What poor Renzo, my first husband, would have done, I really don't know. I think he would have lain down in the snow and simply given up the ghost, poor lamb. Oh, you know, I talk far too much, but it's a dreadful habit. I've none of the traditional British reserve, but then my mother was French, so that explains it, doesn't it? I'm a mongrel.
Here's the tea and some sandwiches.
Ah, so you're the son of the house.
Yes.
Oh, it's quite an Adonis.
I beg your pardon?
How old are you?
I'm 22. Let me know if you want any more sandwiches.
22. Oh, to be 22. Has he got a weak chest?
Yes.
Yes, I was afraid so. He has that heartbreakingly romantic look.
Poor Mr. Winterhalter. He's tidying his room madly. It's too kind.
Oh, he's a lamb. I saw it at once. It would have been merely unkind not to let him give up his bed. There's nothing so disappointing as to have one's chivalrous offers refused. I suppose he's a Jew.
Oh, just an Austrian, I believe.
Oh, delightful people. Feckless and incompetent, but, oh, such dears. They ought to be preserved. The whole of Austria should be taken over by the National Trust. Now for some tea. Won't you all have a cup? And hadn't we better introduce ourselves? I'm Helen Lancaster.
Mrs. White.
Mrs. Ashworth.
Selby, Colonel Selby.
Ah, so you are a colonel. I was right. Not everyone would have spotted it. But I flatter myself I never mistake a retired soldier. There's something about them. They look, well, properly washed. Do you find it dull here? But then perhaps you don't mind.
Well, at 73, one's activities are necessarily somewhat limited. One reads, potters about, sleeps.
Well, of course, of course. One ought to live quietly. Quietly and with dignity.
Thank you. Oh. I can carry them myself. Oh, excuse me.
Oh, Mr. Winterhalter, what a shame. All those bedclothes and pillows. Now, I insist that you have a cup of tea and a sandwich.
Quite all right. No trouble.
I hear you come from my dearly beloved Austria.
You know Austria.
Oh, good heavens, man. How many times have I been to Vienna and Salzburg for the Mozart? It's an enchanting country. But I wouldn't go back for all the money in the world now that it's overrun by soldiery. Poor, poor Europe. Où sont les neiges d'antan?
If you'll excuse me.
She's rather quiet, isn't she? Oh, I expect I upset her by making so much noise.
Oh, she keeps herself very much to herself, Mrs. White does. Rather superior, you know.
It's an interesting face, but it's unhappy somehow.
Oh, come on and have some tea, Bobby.
Please, Tony.
Oh, don't give him tea or he'll kick all night.
Oh, darling, I must have tea. You know, Winterhalter, I really do feel rather badly about this sofa.
Now, don't go on about it, dear. It pleases him to give up his bed. Don't you understand?
Yes, just so.
It wouldn't please me.
Well, Mr. Winterhalter isn't English. He's a romantic, like me. Tell me, that rather cross-looking girl we saw outside, is that Mrs. Daly's daughter?
Yes, that's Evelyn.
Her fiancé was killed in Germany just a week before the end of the war. Quite a tragedy.
Oh, why do these things happen to people? A girl like that must wonder if there's any coherence or purpose in the universe at all. What regiment were you in, Colonel Selby?
I was a gunner, a horse gunner for many years.
I had a friend called Claude Wilmington who commanded something or another called the Chestnut Troop. Oh, such uniforms he used to wear. Oh, but that was years ago.
I knew old Claude. I've got some photographs of him upstairs in the attic, if you cared to see them sometime.
You haven't. How absurd. Oh, of course, I would love to see them. I can't wait.
Well, it may take a little time to dig them out. Bottom of the trunk, you know.
Oh, please don't bother now. No, tomorrow...
No trouble at all. None at all.
Helen, you really shouldn't. They're in the attic.
Darling, it is a shame.
Oh, what nonsense. He'll enjoy digging for them. I don't suppose he's shown them to anyone for years and years. It will be a great excitement for him.
Oh, he's got 6 or 7 albums. We've all seen them several times, except Mrs. White. Heavens! 9:15 already. Excuse me, won't you? It's my variety night.
Her what night? What in heaven's name?
Well, Friday night, she always listens to some wireless program in her room.
Her variety night? Of course. Oh, how amusing, aren't they? Ah, oh, poor dears. How we upset them all. Their patience and their pipes and their programs. Can you imagine living here, making this one's home? Oh, poor Mr. Winterhalter. How you, of all people, brought up in one of the most beautiful and civilized capitals of Europe, how you can vegetate here... No. No, it's too much, and I can't allow it. You must find somewhere else to live, somewhere civilized. The Riviera, or Paris, or Florence. I shall make it my business to arrange it.
Oh, please.
Oh, yes, yes, I shall. One good turn deserves another, and we shall have a long talk about it in the morning. How long have you been here?
Nearly a year.
A year?
I was rather ill a year ago, and the doctor advised somewhere quiet, so I came here. It's not too expensive, you know.
How much?
Helen.
Well, there's no use saying Helen. I must know if I'm going to help him.
Well, perhaps he doesn't want help.
Well, of course he doesn't. Don't be silly, Tony. You don't mind me asking, do you?
Not at all. I pay 4 guineas a week.
How much were we paying for that nice little hotel in Montreux, Bobby?
2.5 guineas a day, each.
Oh, we weren't. Well, it's really scandalous. But you leave it to me, Mr. Winterhalter. I shall think of something. I shall find a solution.
It's very kind of you.
Oh. Now that I'm warm, I suddenly feel overpoweringly sleepy. Come, dears, to bed.
You can't go yet. You've got to look at the Colonel's photographs. You said you couldn't wait.
Well, now I can't wait to go to bed. There it is. If I looked at a single photograph, I should simply fall down unconscious. Besides, he may be hours digging them out of the attic. I'll look at them tomorrow.
Darling, you really are...
Well, he'll be just as delighted to show them to you tomorrow. But we'll give him something to look forward to. Come along now. We're keeping poor Mr. Winterhalter from his sofa, too. Gute Nacht, Herr Winterhalter. Schlafen Sie wohl.
Gute Nacht, gnädige Frau.
Ah, charming. Now, bed.
Good night, Mr. Winterhalter.
Good night.
Good night, and many thanks.
Good night.
Here's another blanket. This is a nice windfall, I must say. If they can go tomorrow, we should have to open the other wing. All the carpets are up to and the curtains are packed for the cleaners.
She's very charming, Mrs. Lancaster.
Oh, yes, very. She seems to have plenty to say. Oh. I hope this won't be too uncomfortable for you.
No, no, no. Quite all right. One can tell she's lived, traveled.
I really can't think why you gave up your bed. The girl could quite well have slept here. She's smaller than you and much younger.
Oh, well, I was pleased to.
You're too good-natured. It annoys me to see people who have everything in the world taking advantage of you.
It's a strange coincidence that tonight, just when the snow had reminded me of Vienna, somebody should come here and talk of Vienna and Salzburg.
I've been reading that little German grammar you lent me. I don't think it's as difficult a language as people say.
In Salzburg, it will be white now, until March.
It must be wonderful to travel, to speak several languages. It makes one so much more interesting to talk to.
Though perhaps people like that become rather tiring after a time.
Tiring? I can't imagine that. There's such life, such gaiety. It seems to me that one could never tire of such a person.
No. Perhaps not. In any case, it doesn't matter.
Matter?
The snow will thaw and then she'll go. Tomorrow or the next day or the day after. She'll go. Gute Nacht.
What did you say? Am Brunnen vor dem Tore, da steht ein Lindenbaum. Ich träumt in seinem Schatten, ja manchen süßen Traum.
I don't know whether anything could possibly be said, Evelyn, but last night, when I went up at the usual time for my bath, both bathrooms were occupied. And when one of them became vacant, there was no hot water left.
I'm afraid the only thing to do is to try to come to some arrangement with the Lancasters. Mr. Winterhalter didn't get a bath yesterday either. There's the bread, Colonel Selby.
Oh, thank you.
What I object to is the lack of consideration. After all, this is our home. The Lancasters have been here 2 days and now they seem to own the place. This is just an hotel to them. And they feel they've a right to enjoy every amenity without consideration for others. The bath, the chair nearest the fire, everything.
Well, of course, in a sense, this is an hotel, obliged in law under the regulations of the Innkeepers Act, or whatever it is.
Oh, yes, I know all that. That isn't the point at all. There's such a thing as being a little sensitive to other people's feelings.
Oh, snowballing. Young Daly and the girl. Hey, it's a great thing to be young.
Well, I'm afraid we're likely to be with you for a little time yet. The road's terrible. I doubt one could get up the hill even with chains.
Oh, really?
Bread for the birds, Colonel.
Yes. The trouble is to prevent the blackbirds and starlings chasing away the tits and the wrens. It's a law of the jungle, you know. The weakest to the wall. Well, I shall feed them just outside the French window. You'll be able to see.
Extraordinary piece of luck that we happen to stop so near here. I'm afraid, though, it's a mixed blessing for you. I know what it is to have one's routine upset.
Oh, it can't be helped, Mr. Lancaster. If this were an ordinary hotel, of course, it would probably not affect us at all.
These grottos and statues in the garden, there's a suggestion of Italy.
Yes.
An interesting period architecturally, though not, of course, so essentially English as the earlier ones, Elizabethan or Tudor. I'm insular enough to prefer them myself.
No, I quite agree. All this far too ornate. Mm. My husband and I had a small Elizabethan manor house near Andover.
Did you? How very delightful.
Yes, we were very fond of it. It was just the right size, you know, for a small family. At one time, I looked forward to ending my days there. Life teaches one not to plan too far ahead, doesn't it?
Or at least not to take one's planning too seriously.
My son was killed in the war. Then my husband died of pneumonia in 1945. Much of his money was in business in the Far East, and a great deal of it was lost. Many people suffered similar losses during the war. My case isn't in any way exceptional. I quite realize that. At least I have sufficient money to live quietly here. The only thing is, it seems such a short time ago that I had a husband, a child, a house, servants, money, friends, and a varied and interesting life. Now I knit, read a little, go for little walks, sit here day after day, rather ill-tempered. I sometimes wondered myself how and why it has happened. Oh, one shouldn't talk about these things and complain, I beg your pardon.
Oh, please.
Oh, to listen to other people's misfortunes, but it's so embarrassing. Have you been to the lake? The rhododendrons and azaleas, they're beautiful in the spring.
Johnny! I'm supposed to take the gentlest exercise, and there he is snowballing. And in this cold, too.
Oh, look at them, Mrs. Daly, throwing snowballs and tumbling about just like a couple of schoolchildren.
Oh, but he shouldn't be doing it, Mrs. Lancaster. Really, he shouldn't.
Oh, but it couldn't hurt him. It couldn't possibly. The sun and the air like champagne. Oh, let them enjoy themselves. Let them laugh.
Oh, very well. But one has to listen to the doctor, though.
Oh, doctors. One should never take doctors seriously. What about the car, Robert?
Well, beyond the bent wing, I don't think there's any damage.
Well, is it here? Have you got it?
Got it? My dear, there's not the slightest hope of moving it without a tow, and the road's impassable for miles.
Oh, but surely something can be... Oh, but what does it matter? I'm beginning to like it here. We shall stay and make thorough nuisances of ourselves. And I shall brush up my German with Mr. Winterhalter.
Wäre mir ein Vergnügen, gnädige Frau.
Oh, do you know, I felt terribly guilty last night, Mrs. White. I believe Tonetta and I ran off all the hot water in the house and you never got a bath. Now, did you?
Oh, it really doesn't matter.
There, I knew it. Oh, how dreadful of us. Such typical thoughtlessness. But I shall do penance. I won't have a bath for days. I am so sorry.
The boiler's not very big, you know.
Of course it isn't. How could it be? At home, we have an enormous thing. You could drive the Queen Mary with it. But, of course, it's wildly extravagant. But one must have hot water.
Yes, it's one of the comforts of life. Excuse me.
I hope I said the right thing. She looks terribly reserved and sad. Now, I should like a drink. Is there any alcohol in the house? Oh, good heavens. We've got all that champagne in the car. Of course, it would have been stolen by now. Why on earth didn't you fetch it up yesterday, Robert?
I did.
Did you?
I told you, dear, but you didn't listen.
There, how exactly like me. He does all the right things, and I don't appreciate it a bit. I don't even listen. Oh, bless you. Why don't you shout at me sometimes?
You'd like that, I'm sure.
Oh, for goodness sake, go and change your shoes, my dear man. You're wet to the knees. And I'm not prepared to nurse you if you get pneumonia.
Yes, all right.
Men are so silly. Oh, Robert, do find some sherry. It would be so comforting.
Right.
Oh, what a day. How I adore the unexpected. And being here is unexpected. And, of course, you're totally unexpected, my dear Mr. Winterhalter. What's your other name?
Julius.
I shall call you Julius, and you shall call me Helen.
Since you've come, the house seems to have wakened from its sleep. And one feels that there's not only sadness in life, but happiness, too. You radiate such life, such vitality.
Vitality? Oh, yes. I've plenty of that. Oh, far too much, in fact. If I don't go charging through the day like a train through a tunnel, I feel depressed. I feel, oh, bored.
Oh, surely not.
What do you know about me? Nothing. I'm a shocking creature, I warn you. And if there's any justice in the world, then I'm sure I shall go to hell for my sins. Oh, but I don't want to talk about myself. I want to hear about you. Tell me what you are. No. Let me guess. You're a writer.
No.
Artist? Musician?
I used to think I was a musician. I played the piano.
You did? And you're brilliant, of course. Then you shall play for us tonight. If there's one thing I really love, it's the piano properly played.
I'm sorry, but I'm afraid I don't play any longer.
You don't? Well, why not?
This.
But your hand? Oh, no. Not a bullet.
A bayonet.
Dreadful. Abominable. Oh. Poor hand.
You kissed it.
Oh, my poor Julius. Your face.
Helen.
What's the matter? Oh, Evelyn, you're the very person I wanted to see. I'm one of those tiresome people who can't sleep properly without a whole lot of pillows. I don't know why it is, but if my head's too low, I wake up with a stiff neck.
I don't quite know if we have any more pillows. I'll ask Mother.
Thank you so much. I wonder why she looks so cross with me. It isn't a crime to ask for more pillows. Oh, I'm sure our being here is a nuisance, but good gracious me, it's only for a few days.
Few days, of course.
Ah, now you look sad. But of course we shall see each other again. You come up to London, don't you?
Not now.
Oh, but you must. Besides, I'd like to introduce you to all kinds of people who could help you and so on.
Help me?
Well, I shall help you.
Oh,
oh yes, I shall. Now, who do I know at the Austrian embassy? Dear, just to think of Vienna makes me feel sentimental. Does it make you sad to talk about it?
No, I can talk to you. No one else can understand. No one else knows what it means. They know nothing and just sit here all day knitting and playing cards and calling me Winterhalter. Winterhalter. Oh, I don't mean to complain. Everybody's very kind, and after all, I'm just a foreigner in England, a displaced person. But when one meets somebody who knows something of one's country and one's language, why, then one feels grateful and excited and, yes, a little mad.
Mad? How mad?
Why, for people like us, you know, sympathy, understanding, such things act like drugs. We become intoxicated. We see visions. We dream. We imagine all kinds of queer and ridiculous things. You must be careful, please.
Careful? Oh, my dear man, you don't know what you're asking. I've never been careful in my life. Tell me your dreams. Do you think I would laugh at them?
Oh, if you were free. With you, I could begin life again. I would have courage, energy, confidence. I would work. I would slave for you, throw my whole life and being at your feet for a smile, for a touch of your hand. What am I saying? I'm simply dreaming. Such wild, impossible fancies came suddenly into my head.
The Colonel's still waiting for his birds.
Excuse me, please.
Robert, it suddenly occurs to me that tomorrow is New Year's Eve. Well, we must have a party. We've got 6 bottles of champagne upstairs, and it's not the slightest use taking them back to London.
You know, one feels sorry for some of these people. For an Austrian refugee, for instance. He can barely take his eyes off you because you've been to Vienna and speak a little German. I warn you, Helen, you'll have another heartbroken admirer on your hands in a minute.
Oh, now, is it my fault, Robert? Do be fair. What have I done but show him the most ordinary friendliness?
My dear, don't ask me what you've done. What do you do?
Well, when I meet nice, sympathetic, cultured people, I simply have to give sympathy for sympathy. No, it's no good, Robert. I really cannot stay on form or polite terms with people I like. And I will not go through life measuring out friendship and affection grudgingly, spoonful by spoonful, as if it were some sort of rationed luxury that one hid in the back of a cupboard. It's not my nature, and I can't do it.
Heaven forbid that you should try.
Well, you think I behave disgracefully. You disapprove. Oh, I know you do.
My dear Helen.
You think I'm immoral. Well, you can't deny it.
Immoral? Well, in a sense, perhaps.
There.
You know, I sometimes think that all really attractive, generous, and lovable women have something of the harlot about them.
Robert!
I don't mean it offensively.
Oh, isn't that delightful? Isn't that typical? So polite. So English. I don't mean it offensively. Ah, and you're so right, darling. You're perfectly right. I'm a wanton, shameless creature. And you're so patient, so well-behaved. And I treat you quite shamefully. Oh, yes, yes, I do, quite disgracefully. Aren't you tired of me? Aren't you sorry you didn't marry some really nice, virtuous, dependable young English spinster? Aren't you? Aren't you, darling?
Helen.
Nobody's looking. Don't be so respectable. Janetta was nearly over that time. Don't go under the trees. Oh, there. What did I say?
Has she hurt herself?
Oh, not a bit. Well, I'm beginning to feel like a nice hot cup of tea, Colonel.
Yes, yes. I think I'll come with you.
It won't go off, will it? Your gun.
Go off?
I'm terrified of firearms.
Oh, no. See, it's empty.
Yes, but... I believe even empty ones, sometimes dreadful accidents happen. Oh, here comes Mrs. White. On Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays, she walks down the river to the bridge and back. And on Tuesdays, Thursdays and Saturdays, she goes the other way to the village. Lovely afternoon, isn't it, Mrs. White?
Yes.
Won't you...
Don't move, please. Have you had any sport, Colonel Selby? I thought I heard 2 shots.
Yes, I fired twice at a snipe and missed it clean.
I heard a cock pheasant somewhere. Now, if you could shoot that. It's a pleasant noise in the stillness of a winter evening. The woods seem silent and deserted. And then you hear suddenly this noise of life. The girl skates quite nicely. Yes.
And, of course, Mr. Winter halters there with her mother. Oh, if he knew what a fool he was making of himself. I've never seen anyone come over quite so sloppy. He gazes at her like a spaniel.
She's very attractive, very self-confident. I imagine she's always been a success.
Rolling in money. And tonight we're all drinking their champagne. 6 bottles.
No doubt it's amusing to astonish the bourgeois. Oh, it's chilly. I shall go in.
She can't bear them. She can't bear them. She's jealous, of course. I believe she was pretty well off some time ago, and she's never got over it. Some people are lucky in life, others aren't. But it's no good complaining. You've got to be philosophical.
My wife was very good at skating. Mm-hmm. To glide about on ice with the sun shining and the snow glistening all round and a band playing. Oh, it's an exhilarating sensation.
Well, one can imagine what it was like once upon a time when all these walks were beautifully kept and there were gardeners to trim the hedges and sweep up the dead leaves.
Must have been beautiful.
Oh, but in my age, I rather like this atmosphere of decaying splendor. It's melancholy, of course, but restful. I'm a romantic, Mr. Winterhalter.
Evidently.
Oh, how I like to see a man with a gun. When I was a girl, I used to load for my father sometimes. Oh, the excitement of it with the beaters shouting, over, over. You ought to shoot, Robert.
Bad luck on the birds, I say.
Of course, the whole business is highly immoral. Really, quite shocking. But the sheer ridiculous extravagance of it only added to the pleasure. There's hardly anything ridiculous and extravagant left for us now. Oh, except Ascot and the House of Lords. The world is getting duller and duller. There. I've lost one of my nice new gloves.
Oh, well, perhaps you dropped it by the lake. Shall I stroll back?
I'll go with pleasure.
No, I'll go.
Oh, no, please, don't anybody bother. I'm so careless.
No trouble at all.
There. They've both gone. I've disturbed everybody. Colonel Selby. Colonel Selby.
Oh, it's no use shouting. He's a bit deaf. I'm going in for tea. I'll tell him.
Well, tell him I'm not at all sure that I have both of them with me. Thank you so much. Robert, what's the time?
4:15.
Do you notice how interminable the days are here? How these people don't die of boredom living here months. After month.
They haven't had much chance of dying of boredom since our arrival, anyway.
Have we caused a commotion? Well, really, they ought to be grateful. Oh, look at poor little Winterhalter, searching for my glove as if his life depended on it. Poor little man.
I meant to speak to you about him.
I know what you're going to say, that it isn't fair, that I'm leading him up the garden path. I know. But is it all selfishness? Oh, now put yourself in his position. Wouldn't you sooner be hopelessly in love with some unattainable woman than not be in love at all? Living here like a cabbage. Wouldn't you? And suppose he does suffer. Suppose he does weep. Well, I've wept for love 12 times. We all have. That's life.
That's tea.
I should like to leave here tomorrow. For one thing, I'm bored. And secondly, there's an atmosphere about this place that makes me sad. Take me in, dear. Tomorrow, there must be a change. We must have a thaw. We really must.
I'll arrange it.
I came to fetch Johnny.
Oh, he's down at the lake still.
Thank you. It's getting so late. Johnny?
Seriously, surely something can be done about the car. Well, with chains, for instance. Yes. We might at least get as far as Yelverton.
I found it.
Found what?
Her glove. She lost a glove, and I found it over there by the pond.
How clever of you. She's just gone in. You'd better run along quickly after her.
Yes. You look so angrily at me.
Angry? I'm not angry, but I'm sorry to see you making such a fool of yourself.
Is it very noticeable?
Noticeable? Can't you see they're all talking about it and laughing at you? Yes, laughing at you. I never knew a man could behave so foolishly, at least not a man of your age. It would be funny if it weren't so sad. Don't you realize that in a day or two she'll go away, that she'll have forgotten your name before she even gets halfway to London? She's only amusing herself with you because she's bored.
It's not true.
To imagine she loves you, is even interested in you. It's so absurdly naive, so childish. Do you think she hasn't a dozen more attractive admirers in London? And lovers, too, probably.
That's shameful. Outrageous.
Just because she's elegant, just because she speaks half a dozen words of German and has been to Vienna, you're hypnotized by her. Don't you see it can all come to nothing? Nothing at all. You're so kind, so sensitive. I can't bear to see you lose your head for a woman like that. What can it end in but unhappiness? And meanwhile, everybody laughs at you and despises you for being such a fool. I think I shall always hate Snow now, as long as I live.
Evelyn, I must ask you, please, to mind your own business. You have no right to speak to me like this.
No right? A year ago, you were glad enough for me to speak to you when everyone else ignored you or made fun of you. Now this woman comes along with her wealth and her continental glitter, and you discover I'm just a dull, uninteresting creature who must be treated as a servant and mind her own business. I won't run after him as if I were a schoolmistress.
I can't help it. I tell you, I can't help it.
What can't you help, Mr. Winterhalter? Tell us.
Nothing.
Goodness, what's that? Is the house on fire?
It's only Mother ringing for tea. She's madly punctual with meals. Yes, we're 7 minutes late.
It's no use. I can't hurry.
When did you learn to skate?
Oh, ages ago. I was taught at St. Moritz.
I suppose to go to Switzerland. It's pretty expensive.
Well, there are pensions and little places where they charge practically nothing at all. Why not come?
What?
I'm going at the end of January. I'd teach you to skate in no time, and we'd waltz together. Honestly, it's tremendous fun. Do come. Why don't you?
I should like to. More than anything in the world. Oh, but I don't suppose for a minute I shall be able to.
Why ever not?
Well, you know, I'm supposed to have a weak chest. Last winter I was in bed for 4 months, and I'm not supposed to get tired and so on. Of course, I'm much, much better now. I only cough occasionally.
Johnny!
Yes, coming. You know, I feel perfectly certain that if I could get right away from here for perhaps a year or so, I should soon be completely cured. I'm so tired of this place, Tanetta. Of course, it's imagination, but some days I have the impression that the trees, the ivy, the undergrowth, and the weeds are all going to grow higher and higher until they cover the house and choke me. What I would like to do more than anything in the world, what I dream of, is to go on some kind of polar expedition and live for a year, 2 years in the Arctic, where there is nothing but clean, biting air to breathe and space and silence and whiteness.
If that's what you want, then I expect you will. I believe one only has to desire something desperately for it to happen eventually.
Do you really believe that?
Absolutely.
Perhaps it seems to you quite a simple matter to go to Switzerland. But for us, it's about as accessible as the end of a rainbow.
Suppose I lend you the money. Say, £50?
£50?
For that matter, I could give it to you without noticing it, if you'd accept it.
Give it me?
Well, why not? I'm rich, you're poor. It seems quite natural.
It's not natural at all. It's simply quite unbelievably kind. And out of the question, of course.
But if you had my money and nothing to do but amuse yourself, well, you'd think it perfectly natural to help your friends, wouldn't you? If only as a sop to your conscience.
But I couldn't...
Oh, people are so extraordinary about money. They're always taking attitudes and feeling insulted. Oh, if you need the money, why not take it? Why not?
Johnny, dear, the time. Didn't you hear me call?
Yes, Mother.
It's my fault, Mrs. Daly. I was keeping him. I've been trying to persuade him to come to Switzerland with some friends of mine next month.
Switzerland? Well, really, I think that's a matter for the doctor to decide.
I should very much like to lend him the money, if it would help. It's so easy for
me. It's very kind of you, but of course we couldn't consider that at all. Tea's been on the table for 10 minutes, Miss Landy.
I'm sorry. I didn't really mean to interfere. It was just an idea.
Really, such impertinence of people. Just because they have money to think it gives them the right to arrange other people's affairs.
She meant it kindly.
Ever since they've been here, they've done nothing but upset and annoy people, treating us as if we were just servants.
But, Mother...
It's so hurting. When one has tried one's best to do the right thing, when one has worked and saved, to have an ignorant girl come along with her grand ideas, offering money as if she were a duchess... Haven't I always done my best for you, Johnny? Haven't I?
Oh, yes, Mother. Yes. For goodness sake, don't let's talk about it. It was only an idea.
I don't want to deprive you of anything that would do you good, dear. If the doctor thinks you should go to Switzerland, then go you shall, whatever sacrifices we have to make. But you know what he said, dear. You must rest. You must go to bed early and avoid all excitement. Try to be content to live quietly, Johnny.
Live quietly? Yes, but what for, Mother? In God's name, what for?
Oh, my dear.
To creep through the world in cotton wool, never putting one's nose outside to smell what life is like. To have one's whole existence regulated by a dumpy little doctor with a threepenny thermometer. If that's the only life I can ever look forward to, then I'd just as soon not live at all.
Oh, Johnny! Johnny! Oh, Johnny.
There, Mother. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. It was just an explosion, you know. Of course I'll be patient. Now, there, don't cry, darling. I was only joking. You're perfectly right, of course, and I must live quietly. Don't worry. I'll be patient. You'll see. I'll be patient.
Anymore. I shan't be able to tell one card from another.
I suppose she's never drunk champagne before.
I beg your pardon?
I can't shout it. Oh, 11:30. Personally, I'm ready for bed.
Nobody's going to bed until midnight on New Year's Eve. Oh, Robert, dear, poor Mrs. White has had nothing to drink all evening.
Come along, Mrs. White.
Oh, thank you. Johnny, dear, it's so late. Mrs. Daly, a glass of champagne?
No, thank you very much. I'm afraid wines and spirits don't agree with me.
Just a little longer, Mrs. Daly.
It's a special occasion. Oh, very well, then. A little longer.
I've never felt better. I shall take to drinking champagne regularly.
Splendid. I've had too much already, you know.
Well, for once, I don't think it'll hurt you.
Very well, then. Thank you. Partner. Partner. Hark at Mrs. Ashworth. But she's very good-hearted. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I shall go to sleep if we don't finish this rubber soon.
Oh, rise and shine, Miss Landy. Rise and shine, dear. It's your deal. Rise and shine, these extraordinary barrack room expressions.
Now, Julius, what were we talking about?
The future. Please tell me the future.
Now, let me look in your hand. Let me reflect. There's nothing like champagne for inspiring clairvoyance. I see a change in your fortunes followed by a series of journeys.
Yes?
You mustn't allow circumstances to dishearten you. Well, we're none of us presented with happiness on a plate, you know. We must continually pursue it in spite of all obstacles. Well, just as a huntsman will plunge into a dark forest in pursuit of his quarry.
I think that's extremely funny.
It's not as funny as you think, my dear girl. There's a sound philosophical truth behind it.
Mother always starts getting philosophical about this time of night.
Two hearts! Two honky-tonk!
That voice.
Don't pay any attention to them, Julius. I see clear signs of a new happiness in your hand. Worry and loneliness are behind you, and you are about to enter, as it were, the gateway of adventure.
Hooray!
Oh, be quiet, Tonetta!
He's swallowing every word, aren't you, Mr. Winterhalter? He's quite spellbound.
Please, Eve.
Tell me something now, Mrs. Lancaster, something really wonderful. Tell me I'm going to marry a beautiful young man with 2,000 a year and live happily ever after.
It's an interesting hand. I should say your character is full of strange contradictions. Your personality is complicated.
Imagine that.
And I should say you had some kind of a disappointment a few years ago. There's something like a scar on your heart line.
I don't believe you can see that at all. You've been talking to Mother or Johnny.
Oh, my dear girl, if you don't believe me, why ask me to read your hand?
Oh, no, do go on. I believe anything you say, really I will. But don't tell me about the past, all that's so terribly dreary. Tell me about the future.
Your line of life is strong. I don't see any sign of serious illness. How old are you?
I'm 28.
Oh, she's telling the truth, in vino veritas.
I see quite a happy marriage, but not for a few years. You must be patient. Your heart line suggests that there's quite a lot of happiness in store for you.
Happiness? Johnny, do you hear? There's happiness in store for me.
Hallelujah.
Shall I be rich? Oh, do tell me, shall I be rich?
You will not.
Money brings its own troubles, doesn't it?
No, I can't see any more.
Thank you so much. Happiness is in store for me. After all, I suppose it is possible.
Fill my glass, Julius. There's a dear. Tell me when you're coming to stay with us in London.
Well, I thought...
What about the week after next? Tony, what night are we going to Covent Garden for the Mozart?
The 11th.
Ah, then you must come on the 10th and you shall come with us. It isn't Salzburg or Vienna, but still, it's adorable music. You shall stay a week or 10 days, and I'll introduce you to a delightful friend of mine who'll make you feel, well, a little less of a stranger. He was our secretary to the embassy in the days of that poor, unhappy little Dolphus.
So kind of you.
Kind? It will be lovely. We'll poke around the art galleries together and be quite bohemian.
It's not kind, you know.
I beg your pardon?
Playing with people's hopes and dreams. You shouldn't do it, Mrs. Lancaster.
Oh, dear girl, what nonsense.
You're strong. It doesn't matter to you. But most of us spend all our time trying not to hope for what is quite unattainable, trying to be content with what we have. It's not kind to make us dream of the waters of the moon, of all kinds of happiness that are out of reach. Why do you come here to disturb us all?
Evelyn.
Oh, poor dear, she's overexcited.
Oh, you think you're going to Switzerland, don't you, John? And Mr. Winterhalter thinks, well, really, I don't know what nonsense he thinks. Something ridiculous.
Please.
And I'm to be married and live happily ever after one day. Such splendid futures are waiting for us all. Next year, sometime, never.
No, I think perhaps she should go to bed.
Why don't you leave us alone, Mrs. Lancaster? We aren't your sort of people at all, you know. We are just dull little people leading dull little lives in a backwater.
Evelyn, for heaven's sake.
Oh, nonsense, my dear girl. Nobody's dull. We're all of us extremely interesting.
I tell you, we're dull. And I ought to know. I'm an expert on dullness. Dull? Huh. This is Ditchwater Hall.
Evelyn.
Don't stare at me, John. I'm all right. Why don't you go on with your game?
Wouldn't you like to go to bed?
What a beautiful dress that is. Is it real silk? Oh, yes, it is. Mine's real imitation wool.
It's very nice.
Oh, do you think so? I'll change with you if you like. I've only had it for about 7 years.
Evelyn!
Now, come along, dear. We'll go upstairs together and you'll have a nice lie down.
What's the matter, Mrs. Ashworth?
You take an aspirin and pop into bed and you'll be as right as rain in the morning.
I don't want to pop anywhere. And I don't want to see the new year in.
Oh, dear.
I expect it will look exactly like the old one. I don't see the sense of us sitting here drinking and being sentimental just because another stupid year is starting. Now, if you could put back an old one occasionally, that might be worth celebrating. There are one or two old years I can remember that I wouldn't mind having over again. Well, there's one anyway. But the new year, you can have it, all of you. I don't want it. It's no good to me.
Oh, well, there's a cheerful way to talk. Now, you say good night, dear, and come along with me. There's a good girl.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night, Mrs. Lancaster, and thank you so much for inviting Johnny and me to your party.
Good night. I hope you feel better in the morning.
Schlafen Sie wohl, Herr Winterhalter. You see, I speak German, too. Sprachen, sprach, gesprochen.
That's right, dear. You come along.
I'm not in the least sleepy. Gute Nacht, mein Damen und Herren. Schlafen Sie wohl.
I'm so sorry. She doesn't use... Well, I hope you don't think
no,
that
my
Evelyn...
My dear boy, I think nothing at all. It's of no kind of significance whatsoever.
I haven't heard her speak as much as that in the 3 years I've been here.
Then we've achieved something. That's all to the good.
She wouldn't let me take her upstairs. Said I was to go back and enjoy myself. Poor thing, she's just had one too many, I'm afraid. As a matter of fact, I feel a bit silly myself. Don't you, Mrs. White?
I do not, as it happens.
Oh, well, there's no need to bite my head off. There is no need to get on your high horse. I dare say you do think I'm rather a vulgar sort of creature, but there it is. You must make the best of it. We all have to live in that station of life to which it has pleased God to call us.
Fiddlesticks.
It is not fiddlesticks.
Pass the wine, Robert. I quite agree, Mrs. Ashworth. The rich man in his castle, the poor man at his gate, each has his place in the scheme of things.
Oh, that's all very well for the rich man.
Well, it's all very well for everybody.
Suppose you had been the daughter of a poor Neapolitan laundress.
I should have accepted the conditions of my birth. I should have made just as good a washerwoman as anyone else. Just as good. Probably I would have contrived to have got myself kept by a wealthy spaghetti manufacturer.
Oh, darling.
I should have been perfectly happy and contented, and I certainly shouldn't have sat about feeling sorry for myself.
I don't know whether that remark is intended to suggest that some people here sit about feeling sorry for themselves.
I'm suggesting nothing. I merely state that I would never have been aimless or hopeless under any circumstances. One who has never turned his back but marched breast forward, never doubted clouds would rise or break or whatever it is. I've always admired Browning.
God in his heaven, all's right with the world. Boot, saddle, to horse and away.
I beg your pardon, what was it?
That was Browning.
Oh, Browning.
I rather like Browning.
Of course you do.
Yes, of course he does. He's 22 years old and all his life before him. I'm 65 and I naturally prefer something a little more adult, shall we say. Something that gets rather nearer to the heart of things.
But you assume sadness is at the heart of things, whereas I see gaiety. Now, that's the difference between us.
It's not the only one. Our circumstances are hardly similar, are they? You're still young enough to live for the future. I'm not. One day, you too may be left only the pleasures of recollection. I should advise you to bear that in mind.
Really, this sermonizing and on New Year's Eve.
Now, Helen, I think this would be an excellent moment to start talking about something quite different.
Oh, I'm sure. I don't care what I talk about.
What's the time?
5 minutes to midnight. In 5 minutes, we shall stand on the threshold of a new year, my friends.
Well, it's been a very jolly evening, eh?
Jolly evening. He hasn't been conscious for more than 10 minutes.
Still a bottle of champagne.
Then pass it in mercy's name. I'm parched. I don't know why, but the end of the year always excites me somehow.
Time like an ever-rolling stream.
Oh, let's make a noise. Let's have a little life and gaiety. Turn on the wireless. We can't let the poor old year slink out unwept, unhonored, and unsung. Roll back the carpet.
Oh, I haven't danced for years, but I don't mind trying. Come on, Mr. Winterhalter.
Splendid, splendid. Good
noise. Oh, dreadful noise. Quite dreadful.
Oh, really, Mrs. White? Oh,
so typical.
Well, don't you think that's a little high-handed? Why shouldn't the young people dance and amuse themselves for once?
I've no objection to them dancing, but I object very much to that vulgar, ugly noise.
Well, how can we dance without music?
Now, try to be a little understanding. Didn't you like to dance when you were young?
If you still wish to dance, I will play for you.
Now, dance if you want to.
Would you believe it?
I'm beginning to like this woman. Dance, everybody. You should be good at this, Julius. Come on.
Shall we, Tanetta?
Of course.
I'm afraid we're keeping you from your bed, Colonel.
It isn't so much my head as my digestion. It's always the same after sprouts.
Oh, stop. Stop, everybody. Listen. Yes. The bells.
Oh.
The bells are ringing out the old year. Glasses, everybody. We must drink a toast to it. Oh, what a moment this is. It always makes me feel emotional. One is conscious suddenly of time passing, of standing poised between the past and the future. Now, silence, everybody.
He always makes a speech on New Year's Eve.
Shh. Mustn't mind me being sentimental and silly. I can't help it on New Year's Eve. May the new year bring you all nearer to your heart's desires. May you find health and vigor, John, my dear boy, and a new interest in life.
Thank you.
And may our Austrian friend discover a companionship in England that will cheer him in his exile.
Thank you.
Oh, it's been such a pleasant, cheerful evening. I feel quite warm with friendship. Thank you all for your kindly welcome to us. And now let us raise our glasses and drink to the future. Ladies and gentlemen, the new year.
The new year. The speed was just
inevitable. Join hands, everybody.
Gentlemen, I should just like to say on behalf of the inmates...
Inmates?
If that's the word I mean, how grateful we are to Mr. and Mrs. Lancaster for arranging this very jolly party for us tonight and providing us with so much delicious wine.
You're most generous.
I'm sure we've all enjoyed it very much and it certainly made a nice change.
Very kind. We do thank you, we do indeed.
It's raining.
I've just been out and there's a soft, wet wind and everything's thawing and dripping and the snow is sliding off the roof and off the trees. Look, I'm quite wet.
Oh, a thaw, thank goodness. Then it looks as if we shall be able to go tomorrow.
Yes, you'll be able to go tomorrow.
Oh, delightful. Speed the parting guest.
I didn't mean...
Why don't you go to bed, spoiling everything?
Oh, she didn't mean, I'm sure.
Johnny, dear, bedtime.
Yes, all right, Mother, all right. Thank you so much, Mrs. Lancaster. And thank you, sir.
I did enjoy it. I really did.
Good night.
Good night.
I'll see you before you go, Tanetta.
Of course. Good night.
Good night.
I'm suddenly so sleepy I can hardly keep my eyes open. Bed, Robert, dear. Tomorrow morning we must pack.
So tomorrow you'll be gone.
Ah, but we shall see you again. I hope we'll see all of you whenever you come to London. Look in whenever you like. We're just off Grosvenor Square. Where's my bag?
Here.
Oh, thank you, dear. Good night, Colonel Selby.
Good night.
Oh, no. Don't settle down again, whatever you do, or you'll fall off to sleep.
Oh, I'm going to bed at once.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Mrs. White. Isn't she funny? Oh, she's such a character. She intrigues me enormously. I'm only sorry I didn't get to know her better.
Good night, Mr. Winterhalter.
Good night.
After you, Colonel.
Oh, thanks.
Good night, Winterhalter.
Good night.
Extra Couvée, 1945. I must remember that. One day, when I'm engaged to marry my handsome young man, I shall make him take me to a restaurant. I shall say to him, I want a bottle of Extra Couvée, 1945. Oh, poor young man. Whatever would he say? Perhaps I shall keep this bottle and sleep with it under my pillow.
Good night.
Good night. Poor, silly Mr. Winterhalter. Did you think I was rude, Mrs. White? I didn't mean to be. Or did I, perhaps? I don't know. Nothing seems to matter tonight. Nothing. But I'm glad they're going tomorrow. They don't belong in a place like this, among people like us. It's as if some beautiful swans had suddenly landed on a duck pond and all the ugly ducks felt envious of their fine feathers. The girl is beautiful, isn't she? Perhaps I could be pretty if I didn't always feel so tired, so bad-tempered. If I didn't have to work so hard every day. Every day. My face is beginning to get quite lined, and I'm not yet 30. Don't you think life is unfair to some people?
It's stupid to talk like that. Life isn't fair or unfair or tragic or comic or anything else. Life is life, that's all. One must accept it
I like Chopin. Do you know the sad little prelude all on one note? Yes. Yes, that's the one. Go on playing. He used to play that. How I wish I could sit here like this forever. If only the morning would never come.
White.
Good morning.
So typical of Devonshire, isn't it? One day it's bitterly cold, the next the wind has changed, the sun shines, the snow's disappeared. And all at once there's a feeling of April. Colonel Selby says it's the Gulf Stream.
Yes, one does get a comparatively short winter here, though goodness knows it feels quite long enough.
During the war, I once had to spend a whole winter in Lancashire. There's no Gulf Stream there. Mm-hmm. My husband tells me you used to have a nice old house near Andover.
Yes, between Andover and Weyhill.
Well, next time you're in London, perhaps you'll come and see it.
Oh, it's very kind of you. I'm afraid I hardly ever go to London nowadays. I'm a complete country bumpkin now.
I don't think I should care to live permanently in the country. In fact, I'm sure I shouldn't. Well, the autumn, for instance, it's so dreadfully depressing.
Well, Tony, dear? It won't be long now. The breakdown people are just hauling it out of the ditch. You haven't seen Johnny Daly, have you?
He's in bed. He's got a temperature, poor boy.
Then he is ill. Oh, it's really dreadful, isn't it, at that age?
Yes, it's sad, very sad, poor boy. Oh, if Robert doesn't hurry, we shan't get to the Maitlands for lunch.
Mrs. White, I wonder if I might ask you to give John Daly a message for me, if I don't see him before we go.
Oh, now, darling, you can't worry Mrs. White like that. It's too silly.
Oh, it's no trouble. What would you like me to tell him?
Oh, just that I'm sorry I didn't see him again, and that I hope he gets better, and that I'll write to him. I should hate him to think I'd just gone off and forgotten.
I dare say he'll be down again in a few days. I'll tell him.
Thank you. These people make me feel guilty. We seem to have so much, and they so little. Their lives seem to be so drab. Do you know who lights the fire in the morning and sweeps out the room before breakfast? Evelyn Daly. And she's done it every day for years. And I suppose she'll go on doing it. I've never lit a fire in my life.
Oh, my dear girl, there are hundreds and thousands of people doing precisely the same thing all over the country. I'm sure it's most disagreeable. And I'm extremely grateful I haven't got to do it myself.
Is that all?
All? Well, what else can one say? There are millions of people in the world with lives 10 times as drab as Evelyn Daly's. And hundreds and thousands suffering from starvation and illness and, oh, every sort of misery. But what can one do? Where can one start? Well, as well try to mop up the sea with a pocket handkerchief.
I feel I should like to do something.
Yes, well, you do anything you please, dear, and you'll probably get no thanks for it.
Don't you ever feel that you almost hate your money and your leisure? Well, doesn't it ever seem to you that you've no right to it and that you're simply skating over the surface of life? Without seeing or understanding what's happening beneath you.
Oh, darling, you're so sweet. You're so serious. But I understand quite a lot, you know. And I'm sensible enough to realize that I can't turn the world upside down, whatever I do.
Oh, don't be so superficial.
Don't speak to me like that, dear. I don't like it. You're a little too young to know quite what you're talking about. Oh, you're a silly child.
I'm just going to finish my packing.
Did you hear that, Julius? Such a difficult age when they're just growing out of childhood.
So serious.
As one gets older, the mind gradually builds for itself a kind of protective armor. But when one is 18 and begins to see for the first time all the inescapable sadness of life, one is so tender at that age and so easily wounded. Oh, now she's unhappy because John Daly has a weak chest, because Evelyn Daly has to scrub and clean and light fires. She'd like to take the whole hotel under her wing. Well, one's sorry, of course. But one must be reasonable.
Yes, one must be reasonable.
When I was quite a successful sort of person some years ago, I was often asked for help by rather unfortunate people. And when one was busy, one found such people rather a nuisance and really wished they would go away with their shabby clothes and their sad faces. Misfortune separates one from the happy and successful. It tastes as if one had some sort of infectious disease. So I think perhaps it would be best for me and for you if I were to decline your kind invitation.
Oh, what nonsense, Julius. Of course you're coming. It's quite settled. The only difficulty is the dates. Robert reminded me that there were some people coming on the 11th, and then we're going away, so it will have to be, well, say, early in March. What I'll do is write to you nearer the time, and I shan't take no for an answer. Oh, you smile as though you didn't believe me. Do you think I'm insincere?
You are very kind. But I don't think I should like to come to your house. I have another suit, but it's older and shabbier than this one, and I have no evening dress. I should feel out of place. Do you understand?
Oh, nonsense. I'm sure you wouldn't. And what do clothes matter?
Not very much, perhaps, except that they remind me that I am what I am. A homeless refugee receiving charity.
Oh, now that's being touchy and difficult and silly.
Yes? Well, you know, I am rather touchy and silly nowadays. And that's so boring for other people, so tiresome. Don't you see? There are some friendships that should be short and sweet, that should be exciting for a few hours or a few days, and then melt away like the snow. Look at me, Helen. Will you really be very disappointed if you don't see me again? Come, you are a frank woman, an honest woman. You are not afraid to tell me the truth.
Dear Julius, I shall always have a special place in my heart for you. Whenever it snows, I shall think of my little Viennese friend in Devonshire.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're so wise. So very wise. That's the whole art of friendship, to know when to kiss and to part. Ah, here's our sportsman. And what's in your bag today, Colonel?
Oh, I didn't shoot anything today, I'm afraid. There were some nice snipe about, but they were all too quick for me. Still, it's a nice walk. The great thing is to enjoy nature. After all, one doesn't want to kill the birds, really. Oh, I put one foot in a sort of bog.
No, I should think you did. Just look at it.
Mother wants to know if you're staying for lunch or would you like sandwiches?
Oh, how very kind of her. But we're supposed to be lunching with friends at Yelverton. Oh, goodness knows when we shall get there at this rate. Oh, for goodness sake, go and change your stockings, Colonel Selby. Do you want to catch your death of cold?
Yes. Yes, very well. I think I will.
I don't really know why I should interfere with him, but I can't bear silliness. I'm afraid he'd get on my nerves very quickly. Is your mother anywhere about, Miss Daly?
Yes, I think she's in the kitchen.
Well, I'll just go and finish packing. Then I should like to have a word with her.
Why are you looking so sad, Julius? You'll be seeing her again in a few weeks. You're going to stay with them in London, aren't you? Oh, I'm sure you'll have a very gay time with dinner parties and concerts and all the rest of it, and you'll meet a lot of interesting people. I don't suppose you'll even come back here. We shan't be smart enough for you. Well, to tell you the truth, I shan't care very much if you don't. I think I was happier here before you came. Much happier. What could be stupider than caring for somebody who falls head over heels in love with the first middle-aged woman who comes along?
Please, stop.
Well, isn't it true? You do love her, don't you?
Will you please stop talking about it? Please.
Perhaps you won't believe me, but I'm sorry for you. Yes, I'm sorry.
I don't want your sympathy. I want nobody's sympathy. Do you understand? Don't talk to me. Not now. Just leave me alone, will you, please?
All right. If that's what you want.
There's a fallen tree across the front drive.
Your car is rescued?
Yes, it's quite all right. I've just brought it round to the stables.
Oh, well, you'll be able to move on.
I believe you're coming up to stay with us a little later on, aren't you? My wife mentioned something.
Yes, yes. It was most kind of Mrs. Lancaster. But I told her this morning that I'm very much afraid I shan't be able to manage it. I'm working on an opera It's difficult to make plans.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm very interested in music, as an amateur, I mean, and perhaps if you required any financial assistance...
For what?
Well, this opera you mentioned.
Oh, yes, yes. No, I don't think so. But it's most kind of you to offer, very kind.
I just remembered that I'd left my gun here. I was afraid Mrs. Ashworth might have seen it. Women are funny about firearms, very funny.
I think I shall go for a stroll before lunch. In case I don't see you again, I shall say goodbye, Mr. Lancaster.
Oh, goodbye, Venterhalter, and good luck.
Thank you.
I'm going to take a snapshot of us all sitting in the sun on New Year's Day. You will come, won't you, Mrs. White?
Must I?
Oh, please do. I want everybody.
Yes, I always look so miserable in photographs.
Where's Mr. Winterhalter?
Over there somewhere.
Mr. Winterhalter!
I gather your car has been rescued, Mr. Lancaster.
Yes.
You'll be glad to leave, I expect. There's really nothing whatever to do.
Mr. Winterhalter!
Of course, when one lives permanently in a place, one gradually slips into a kind of routine, and then the days pass very quickly.
Yes, that's true. Just to give you an instance now, Monday we have cottage pie for lunch. Invariably. Well, believe me or not, it seems sometimes we're eating cottage pie every third day. It's amazing, you know. Yes, yes, time certainly passes. Tempus fugit.
No sign of him. Oh, where's the colonel gone? Oh, I wanted to tell you how much I enjoyed the party last night, Mr. Lancaster. Last year, you know, it was very quiet. We were all in bed by 10:30. And I remember waking up at midnight and hearing the bells and thinking, whatever's that? It quite startled me till I realized it was only the new year coming in. And for some reason, I felt so sad I could have burst into tears. Silly.
Mrs. Lancaster says she's ready for you to take the suitcases.
Oh, thank you. I'll go and fetch them.
I don't expect you and your mother will be sorry to see them go. Must have meant a lot of extra work.
Oh, the work doesn't matter.
There should be some chance of a bath tonight, anyway.
Poor girl. She's had her nose put out of joint, I'm afraid. Our little Austrian friend quite lost his head. What on earth he imagined could possibly come of it, I really don't know. Oh, dear.
Oh, I'm not used to these late nights.
I'll go back when they've gone. Mother, don't worry about
me. So silly, dear, when you've got a temperature. He insisted on getting up to see them go.
Oh, that's not sensible, Johnny. It really isn't.
I'll go back when they've gone.
See what I mean? What can one do?
And by the way, Miss Landy asked me to give you a message.
A message?
She said if she didn't see you again, she would write.
Oh, thank you. She would write. She has an idea, you see, that I'd go out to Switzerland a little later.
Oh. It's very good of you to help me, Colonel.
No, not at all.
I'll say goodbye then, Mrs. Ashford.
Well, you just wait a minute. I'm going to take a photograph.
We're rather late, I'm afraid. I should go and get the car ready, pack the luggage.
Oh, I wanted to have everybody.
If there's time, I'll come back.
Thank you.
Goodbye, Mrs. White.
Oh, goodbye.
I only hope we haven't been too much of a nuisance.
Of course not. Goodbye.
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 But come back, do. Oh, would you gentlemen mind helping me to move the bench? It must be facing the sun.
Like this? All right, Colonel, I can manage.
John, I thought you were in bed.
No, I'm quite all right. I just wanted to see you to say that I mean to come, if it can be arranged.
Oh, but that's splendid. Of course it can be arranged.
Now, the photograph.
Tonetta!
Yes, somehow I'll come.
I'll write to you.
Whatever happens, I'll come.
Tonetta, where's the hat box?
I've got it, darling.
Oh, Mrs. Lancaster, will you come in the middle, would you mind? And we'll have a nice group.
Oh, you can't want to photograph me.
Yes. Besides, we're going. Well, I shall sit here for just 5 seconds and no more.
Now, if we only had Mr. Lancaster...
Oh, won't we do? It's getting so late.
Oh, well, very well, then. Now, still, please. Colonel Selby, you're pulling faces.
You are not.
Oh, poor man.
Now, everyone, look this way. Still... There.
Now, Tony, the car.
Goodbye, Mrs. White.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
It's been
goodbye.
Such fun. Can you manage that suitcase, John?
There we appear to be going at last. Oh, and what a beautiful morning we're leaving behind us. Really, it's enchanting here. It's quite enchanting. Look, the first snowdrops. Oh, bless their hearts. The promise of spring. You know, I believe I quite envy you all living in such a place.
Envious?
Oh, yes, I mean it. Oh, if only I could settle down in the country miles from anywhere and simply do nothing all day long but cultivate my garden and watch the seasons change.
It's the only dignified way of living. I'm quite convinced of that. Now, I must rush. We're shockingly late. Goodbye to you all. I've so enjoyed meeting you. All of you. Oh, where's Mr. Winterhalter?
He went out for a walk.
Oh, well, do tell him... No. Just say goodbye to him for me, will you? Goodbye.
Goodbye.
There. They've gone.
Yes, today is Wednesday. They came on Saturday. 3 days and a bit.
I can't help laughing when I think of last night.
That poor girl.
Ah, here's Mr. Winterhalter. Now the party's complete. Mrs. Lancaster told us to say goodbye to you for her.
Thank you. That's very kind of her.
Last night I heard her inviting you to stay with her in London, didn't I? I do hope you'll go. I should like to know what sort of establishment they keep.
I think that was just one of those invitations that people make rather late at night.
Well, forward.
Johnny?
Hmm?
Mother wants you. You ought to go back to bed.
Listen.
You'd better go. She's upset.
Oh, it's always the same. Excuse me.
Ah, lunch.
I hear a welcome sound.
Oh, he always says that. I hear a welcome sound.
Oh, do I?
Oh, you don't notice it, perhaps, but you do, doesn't he?
No, we all have our pet habits.
That's true. After you, Mrs. White.
Oh, please, go on.
This always happens, doesn't it? I say, after you, and you say, please go on.
Coming, Winterhalter?
Yes, I'm coming.
I will. Forward.
Winterhalter. Colonel Dumkopf.
I suppose it's too late, is it? They have gone.
Yes, they've gone.
Oh. I found this coat in Miss Landy's room. On it was this note. Dear Miss Daly, I am leaving this coat behind in the hopes you may find some use for it. T.L. I suppose this was left as a tip. It's quite ridiculous, and of course I shall have to send it back. I shouldn't think she's worn it 3 times. Must be worth at least £30. How can she imagine I could accept a present like that?
I don't know. Perhaps she meant it kindly.
Yes, but really, if it had been a scarf, say, or a pair of gloves, I could have accepted it. This is so much too much.
Do you like the coat?
Yes, of course I like it. It's a beautiful coat. I could never afford to buy anything half as good. But of course it's out of the question.
If you send it back, you will probably hurt her. Is that what you want to do?
Why did she leave it for me? I hardly spoke 3 words to her. She didn't even like me. Oh, I don't know. The fact is, I suppose that I'm gradually becoming the sort of person who takes offense at kindnesses, who can't say thank you for anything. Very well. I shall keep it. I shall sit down and write as nice a letter as I possibly can, thanking her for her generosity and kindness. I shall try for once to be a little generous, too. Oh, what am I crying for? What a miserable couple we are. Poor Julius. You know, I begin to think that the only sin in life is to be unhappy. How shameful it is to sit here in the sunlight nursing our little sorrows as if they were important.
What a fool I've been. Oh, what a fool.
Evelyn!
Never mind. Never mind.
That was Coral Brown as Helen Lancaster and Virginia Maskell as Evelyn Daly in Waters of the Moon by N.C. Hunter, adapted for radio by Molly Hardwick. The rest of the cast was as follows: Mrs. White, Mary O'Farrell, Mrs. Ashworth, Dorothy Holmes Gore, Julia Spinterhalter, Gerard Heinz, Colonel Selby, Martin Lewis, Mrs. Daly, Anna Burden, Robert Lancaster, Patrick Barr, John Daly, Peter Marinka, Tonetta, Eva Haddon. The pianist was Cicely Hoy, and the play which was recorded was produced by Betty Davis.